brothers and sisters, it is so wonderful to be here today. And I want each of you to know how humble I feel in striving to... I'm scared to death of that. To be here today. When Brother Hal first called and asked me to be a speaker here at Devotional, my first thought was, gosh, not me. I'm not a polished speaker. What can I say to these young, beautiful people that I work with here on campus? Because I know that each of you have such beautiful, strong testimonies. And then I thought, perhaps this is why I am to be here, is to testify to you that I too know that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, that he died and that we might live, and that we came here upon this earth to work out our salvation that we might return to him. I want you to know how I love the Lord. I love him with all my heart. And it is this reason that I come with before you in humility and thank Sister Suzette for that beautiful prayer in my behalf to talk with you today and pray that the Spirit will guide and direct me that I might say something that will be beneficial to your lives. Every time I come to Rick's College, I get what you might say a spiritual high. And I know that every one of you feel that spiritual high every day as you come into these beautiful dedicated buildings and become so closely acquainted with the beautiful professors and leaders that you have. It is just such a thrill. And I feel that you are so privileged to be here every day. And I think that you do feel that privilege also, because of your beautiful testimonies that I hear you bear. We have the privilege of living right on the shores of the South Fork of the Snake River. And right in front of our home, the water is very clear, very deep and calm. But just down, just a little ways from there, there is kind of a little waterfall and some few rapids. And every day in the summer, there are people that come along on inner tubes or in rubber rafts and float down this river. In fact, this is one of our family's favorite things to do is at nights after work or on a holiday is to get the raft and go up above and float the river and go over the rapids for the excitement that we get when we go over the rapids. And you're all invited to come and we'll do that. Because it is fun. It really is. But the other day as I was out on the deck, I was watching a group of young people that was on the inner tubes go drifting by. And like I say, right in front of the house where the water's deep, of course, the water, it runs slow and it's very lazy, you know, and you can really relax there. But all of a sudden, you get to these rapids and you go whoosh over there, you know, and on down the river. And it's quite exciting. And this is what these young people were doing. They were, you know, laughing and having a lot of fun. And all of a sudden, you heard screaming and that, and you knew that they'd come to the raft or to the rapids and out of sight. And then away they went. And two or three of them went this way, and then there was one group that came along that got off the course, and they kind of went around in a little whirlpool. And they really had to work to get back on course of the river so that they could drift on down and catch up with their friends. And as I was watching this, I couldn't help but think, isn't that the way life is? That we are kind of on what we might say a voyage, and it takes this voyage for us to go on, for us to meet our expectations of life. And so today, I would like to kind of say that we're going on a voyage. And when we go on a voyage, that doesn't mean that we are just going to be sailing one single ship. When we go on a voyage, we need a whole fleet. And each of us, as we take upon this voyage, we're going to determine our own course of life, of what we're going to do. Some of us are going to attempt to sail these vessels alone. But when we do this, we either wreck at sea or come into the harbor of death with no chance to land in the shores of eternal progression. So what makes us for a desirable fleet? I would like to speak upon seven ships that we might take on our fleet to help us along this eternal progression. The first ship that I would like to talk on is workmanship. And when I say workmanship, I don't mean a pleasure yacht. This is not the type of ship that you're going to just go drifting along on. You've really got to take and steer this ship with a good firm grip and have a good task, with a full task, I should say. You must love your work. You know, it's something just to say, oh, I've got to go to work today. But I've got to because I've got to have the money. It's really what you need to do is you need to say, hey, I get to go to work today. I am going to go and put forth my greatest efforts. You know, I have a friend that she does this very thing. She has so much enthusiasm that when she goes to work, that her co-workers almost envy her as she goes so happily along with her in her work because she enjoys it so much. And last spring, she was honored by the whole division of the Forest Service in this region for her dependability, her capability, and love for her work and her co-workers. She actually received a standing ovation when she received her award. What an honor to love your work so much that you are admired by all of your co-workers and they want to be just as enthusiastic and loving for work as she is. So when you work, give it your very best. The next ship is that of friendship. As I mentioned before, the Sea of Life wasn't meant to be sailed alone. You know, I have a very, very dear friend that supports me, spoils me, that I can tell all my troubles to, and when I am discouraged, he puts his arms around me and comforts me and tells me that everything's going to be all right. And this sweet, special friend is my eternal companion. And nowhere in the world could I find a friend more dear and loving and helping than he is. And I want to thank him with all my heart for all he gives to me. And we are blessed with two beautiful daughters. And you could see the one that how she kind of puts her mom up on a pedestal. I just hope I don't fall off. But it is neat to know that I can go to my sweet daughters. Our other daughter lives so far away that she wasn't able to be here today to support me, but she gave me a call to let me know that she was thinking of me. How special that is to know that I have such good friends as I do in my family. And then as I came in this morning and looked out into the audience, there sit some of the most special people, and that is the counselor and secretary that I work with in the Relief Society and other co-workers, and I want them to know how much I love and appreciate their friendship and their support and love to me, even in something that doesn't pertain, especially maybe to them, but they're here to support me. I want you, sister, to know how much I love and appreciate you. For you are so very, very dear to me. I know that I could tell these sisters anything in the world and it would be my deepest secrets and it would be kept in confidence. And isn't that neat to have friends like this? I hope each of you have that type of a friend that you will be able to put confidence in. Because this great ship is so special. It's when it's especially filled with honor to capacity. Then there is one other friend that we all have in common. That we can go every night and morning and any time during the day and kneel before him and pour our whole heart and soul out to. And we know beyond a shadow that he would be there to help us. In John chapter 17, verse 3, it says, "This is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Ship number three is the ship that we all love to sail. In spite of its enjoyment, is the ship that leads to more seasickness than all the others combined. Even those who claim to be immune, like sailors and the big macho type, they get seasick and they kind of suffer severe attacks of this. It rides the wave of fun and merriment, yet it sounds the depths of the sea of life. The man who finds happiness must learn how to steer this ship with unerring skill. The girl who hopes for dreams to come true must likewise master this ship. For as it says in the song of in Walt Disney's song of Cinderella, a dream is a wish that your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartaches. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams, and someday your rainbows will come smiling through. No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing, the dream that you wish for will come true. In case you haven't guessed what ship this is the ship of courtship. Courtship is well managed, is one ship that leads to the happy havens of home, the harbor in which the real joys of life is clustered, the pearl of the heartstone. And just a hint in passing, though, great happiness comes to those who do all their courting during marriage, before marriage. You know, when I think of this, I think of my sweet mom and dad. They courted, I think, every day of their life. And what I mean by this is mom was never canning fruit, doing dishes, or whatever in the house, but what my dad wasn't right there. And I can remember so many times that she'd be standing at the sink, how he would come up behind her and put his arms around her and give her a kiss on the cheek. You know, and our tease her by blowing in her ear or something, just to be a big tease, you know. And then likewise, whenever my mom was, or when my dad was out in the field, mom would go out and ride on the hay rack or help with the hay or such as this. And this was just always the way it was. You know, and I've always tried to hope to carry that over into my marriage. And, you know, I really am fortunate because I did choose a companion that took the oar and helps me to row my ship into the greatest partnership that anyone could ever wish for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of a man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And how can we find more love than in our Heavenly Father? But it all starts in the home. We must have love and companionship in our home. We next come to the ship of hardship. And this is the ship that we really don't want to have anything to do with, then we would like to pass it by because it has more dents and scratches and such because it gets led into deep and rough waters at times. But when we came here to this earth, we were told that we must come down to be tested. And sometimes we really are tested, aren't we? We get so discouraged and such as this, but we know that when we do this, that it is a growing period. It is a period of time when we have got to really rely on our Savior. We also think, when we think of hardships, we think of the pioneers whom we're going to be honoring for their great sacrifices in the next few weeks. President J. Reuben Clark mentioned that he gave a talk called The Last Wagon, and he mentioned there how that the leaders in the front of the wagon trains could see the beautiful blue sky and they could see where they were going. But the people in the last wagon, many times they could not see the beauty of the blue sky because of the dust, clouds of dust from the earth. They couldn't even see the leaders way out in front. But they had faith. They knew that those leaders knew where they were going. And even though they became very disheartened at times, it was because their faith and knowing that the gospel had been restored and that that was for their freedom that they were going forth with these hardships. We do become very discouraged. But brothers and sisters, always remember that we have a friend that will be with us. And all we have to do is ask for his help, and he will guide and direct us. I know many of you have heard the poem so many times of Footprints. When you get discouraged, think of that. Know that the Lord is with you and that he's carrying you in the hard times. Brother Hiram Smith stated, he said, "Be not discouraged, neither allow the spirit of doubt or gloom of despondency to come into thy life, for these are tricks of the evil one to destroy the faith of thy usefulness. But look upon the bright sides of life. Be cheerful, humble, prayerful, and pure in thy devotion and in thy habits, and the Lord will remember thee in mercy. His power and blessings will be upon thee. Therefore, look unto the Lord in humility, and thou shalt be comforted in the answers of thy prayers, and be guided in the paths of thy duty day and night." The next ship is that of stewardship. The prophet Joseph Smith was asked how he governed his people so well, and he replied, "I teach them correct principles, and they govern themselves." Think of that. I teach them correct principles, and they govern themselves. Each of us are called as stewards. So how are we going to map our course? It's going to depend on us, isn't it? Of the course that we choose. You will never have a greater responsibility than to the steward over the positions that you are called to, whether it be the steward over the position that you're called to serve in the church, in your studies, in your profession, or in your everyday walk of life. You are going to be mapping that course of what you're going to do. I hope you map it well and put it a firm one that includes our Savior. Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, "The Lord doesn't care about ability or disability, but our availability." I have to keep repeating that to myself. He doesn't care about the ability or disability, but our availability. And then he will give us the capability to do what is needed. Steer your ship well. Jesus lets people believe in him keep their possibilities. Then he is free to stretch into their achievements. We next come to that of sportsmanship. This is a neat one because it kind of includes every one of the ships that we've been sailing. You have to be a sport when you have friendship. You have to be a sport in your workmanship, by all means in that. If you don't have a little fun and be a good sport about things, it could be very dull at times, couldn't it? And that of your stewardship, you have to be a good sport there. But in sportsmanship, this is one that you have to really decide for yourself also. You know, there's a story told of a championship game that was played. And I'm not much of a football, you know, I don't know all of the positions like guards and that. So, boys, if I kind of get off, please, you know, just consider. But Anyway, the foreword, there was only 3 minutes left in the game, and the favored team was behind. There was 10 seconds, I should say, and they were 3 points behind. And there was a long pass that the receiver threw to the receiver, I believe it is, in the end zone. And lo and behold, the receiver, you know, he ran and he got, no, is that right? Anyway, somebody caught the ball. And the cheer was just heard all over because the crowd went wild. But then they noticed that the fellow that caught the ball, he went and passed by his teammates that were trying to put him up on his shoulders and really cheer him on because he had been the hero of the day. He went right past them and went over to the officiator that, and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the ball. It hit the ground before I caught it. The crowd didn't know that. The officiator did not know that. But the young man did. And he also knew that the one that counted knew that he hadn't caught the ball. Brothers and sisters, how many of us would have been that brave? How many of us would have had that type of sportsmanship? But you know, that was the neatest thing, I think, because that young man did not have to go through life feeling a little bit of guilt, did he? Because he showed his true sportsmanship. I pray that each one of us will steer that in such a way that we will always be the sports in honesty and in all that we do. Our last ship is one of the most important, and that is the ship of worship. You know, the theme of the church is come unto Christ. In Moroni, chapter 8, verse 26, it helps us to understand how we can be filled with the pure love of Christ. And I'd also like to read in Moroni, chapter 7, verse 48, where it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all an energy of heart, that ye may be filled with the love which he hath bestowed upon all who are in true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. That ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have his hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. We can only have this pure love of Christ if we have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. One who has the pure love of Christ recognizes his complete dependence upon the Savior and boasts not or does not take glory for himself. Charity is the pure love of Christ. Service to our fellow men and service to our Father in heaven will give us so much happiness, and it will give us the strength and joy beyond measure. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verses 36 through 38, it says, and now verily saith the Lord, that these things might be known among you, on inhabitants of the earth, I have sent forth mine angels flying through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, who hath appeared unto some of that hath committed it unto man, who shall appear unto many that dwell on the earth. And this gospel shall be preached unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And the servants of God shall go forth saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heavens and earth and the seas and the foundations of the water, calling upon the name of the Lord day and night. Oh, we every day, we see heroes and heroines among us as we go about, and we might be that hero or heroine that we come to before our Father in heaven and do as he has asked, because we serve others. Brothers and sisters, what a thrill you get when you serve others. I know that each of you have felt this. And believe me, there is one thing that I will promise you, that if you ever get discouraged or think that you were picked upon, we might say, that if you will serve someone or do something kind, you will realize what a beautiful world we live in. I know that if we will sail our ships in the straight and narrow, because as it's stated, straight is the way and narrow the path that leadeth to the kingdom of heaven, that we will find eternal happiness forever. And I ask the Lord to bless each one of us, that we will steer our ships in such a way. And I ask it humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.